So, I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate you. I love you. We love you. And this world would not be the same without you, each one of you, Father. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, and your graciousness. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand before your people and to minister your word. We pray for the anointing that makes preaching easy, and we pray that what flows from your heart flows from my mouth. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my words, but your words. We thank you, O God, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I read something that said, it's often said that the way we view our birth fathers play a large role in how we view our heavenly fathers. As a result, many picture a God who is physically and emotionally distant. However, Scripture is filled with examples of God's constant care, presence, and love for his children. His example is the greatest gift fathers can give to their families, which is being fully present in our lives. Being a father is an awesome, awesome responsibility that should not be taken lightly. Having a child does not make you a father at all, because there are many fathers who did not birth children. My father-in-law was a father to my husband. And my husband, you know the story, he didn't meet his biological father till he was about 13 years old. And when myself and my children met his father years later, his biological father, we began to see, wow, he has this characteristic from his birth father. He has that characteristic from his birth father. But when it came to the character that he had, that's attributed to his dad, James Robert Berry. And I'm forever grateful that he took the time to sow into my father. And we're all beneficiaries of what this one dad did. Society has clouded a view of fatherhood. They view fathers as insignificant and try to push an agenda to relegate them to the background. I'm not really happy about that, because I know that God has given us fathers in the earth as a representation of himself in heaven. If you've been given an assignment of fatherhood, know that you have been strategically chosen by our Heavenly Father as an image bearer to your family. Let's go to the scripture. Genesis 18:19 says, "For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." Next scripture, please. Behold, Malachi 4:5-6. "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the earth with the curse." Our first point is fathers are called to command their household. You know, in the Spencer household, we like to know the meaning of words. So I went to Merriam-Webster and looked up the word for command, the definition of command, and that is to exercise direct authority. To exercise direct authority. They should have a commanding presence but not be domineering. In our household, the buck stopped with Everett Spencer. I was not opposed to that, because I know anything that went on in our household, God was going to see him about it. He was not going to come see me. There was a time when I was like, you know, I'm just as much parent as you are. But I had to learn the role of a father. See, my father was not in my life. He was in my life for 12 years, but he was an absentee father. He was in the household, but he was an absentee father. And I did not really know the role of a father, the attributes of a true father, and even the love of a father. So when I got married, I had daddy issues because a father is one that is supposed to identify you. And so with these daddy issues, I have a husband who is a very strong man in the faith and in personality. And I'm a very strong woman in personality. So when he would tell me things, I would stand like, I don't think I'm going to do that. Like I had a choice. But I learned from the relationship with my husband and my children what the role of a father was and how he was supposed to command his household. Like I said earlier, if anything went down in our house, God was going to see him. There was a time when our children were little and we had just built a split level house and my husband had to work at night. And so my husband told me, Carol, don't let the kids sleep downstairs. And I was like, why? He said, just don't let the kids sleep downstairs. And I was like, okay. So the kids would be downstairs in the family room and they'd be watching TV. Charmaine's laughing at it now. They would be downstairs watching TV Friday night, you know, Friday night, hanging out, watching TV, and they would fall asleep downstairs. Well, when they fell asleep downstairs, I never woke them up. I just went upstairs and I went to sleep. They're asleep. They'll be fine. But he gave a direct command. I hope you're not offended by that. I'm not offended by a command. He was in paramilitary. He gives commands. And he said, don't do this. And so he came home the next day, and the kids were sleeping downstairs. And this happened more than once. It happened more than once because I thought I was grown, being in bed, doing what I want to do. I'm at home with them, so this is what I'm going to do. But when he told me why, he said, Carol, if anything happens, the only exit that they have is here. You have two exits upstairs if anything happens. If one exit is blocked, you got another way out. So the kids learned from me that listening to dad was optional, which was not good. And so I learned from their relationship that you have to. When your father gives a command, it's in your best interest to follow through. Let's go to the scripture. Again, Genesis 18:19, for I have chosen him, which is Abraham, so he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Back. Okay, now go forward one more. Right there. Thank you, ma'am. This is so much fun. Now they know what I deal with back there. Right. I sure do. And I appreciate you, trust me. You know, back to Abraham. Although Abraham blew it sometimes and didn't get it right, He didn't get everything right. He still commanded his children after the Lord. And commanded his household into keeping his ways. Sometimes we judge our earthly fathers harshly. Sometimes we look at the mistakes that they made. And we always, you know, we're kind of like bitter, disdain, feeling some kind of way about the mistakes that they made. But you know what? Even as mothers, we made mistakes. And it seems like we give mothers more grace than we do fathers. Because fathers, as I said in the beginning, have a hard responsibility of raising children, raising the next generations of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, raising the next politicians, raising the next judges, raising the next everything that we do, street sweepers, whatever your profession is. They have the awesome responsibility to do that. And they're not going to get it right all the time. And we, as children of the Most High God, and even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, we got to start giving our fathers some respect, some grace. Everything that they give to us, we need to give it back to them. Because it's awesome responsibility and not an easy job. It's the father's responsibility to lead their children to Jesus. It's the father's responsibility to represent the Heavenly Father to their children. One of the things that I saw in my husband was that he always dealt with our children with mercy, with grace, and with love. Now, their mama wasn't always like that. Because I always say they had the best father in their world. Their mama was a piece of work, but they had no correct enunciation or anything. She was a piece. Their mama was a piece of work. But their dad, they had the best dad in the world. Was he perfect? No, he was not. He was not perfect. They watched him make mistakes, but they watched him get back up again. They watched him serve the Lord, and they watched when he was upset with the Lord, and they watched how he dealt with it. So their dad had the responsibility of showing them the attributes of the Most High God. And when I saw it, I was like, wow, you're a good man. Because I don't even know if I even did that as a mother. But when I saw him do it as a father, I was so thankful that my children had the father that they had. Let's go to point number two. Father, without the benefit of the father's presence, the children run wild. I read a story in about some elephants in the LA Times in 1998. They wrote a story about delinquent elephants in South Africa. There was a game preserve there in South Africa, and they took young male elephants and they just dropped them there. They were orphaned, no male adults to teach them how to be proper adult elephants. And so as time went on, those elephants became delinquent. They began to just run roughshod all over the game preserve. They killed people who came through in their cars. They began to kill the other animals, just doing all kind of crazy stuff because there was no male around to guide them. That's the same thing that happens in our society. When we don't have the male, the fathers in their place, the young men become delinquent. When we don't have our fathers stand up and be men and be fathers, I don't have no problem with what Pastor was talking about last week, toxic masculinity. because my son needed some of that. Because if he didn't have it, if his father wouldn't have stood up and been the man and commanded his household, my son would have ran roughshod. He would have went crazy when he was with us. Now, when he became an adult, he made choices. But when he was with his father wasn't having any of that. So men and fathers are, as I said before, most important in the lives of our young men and our young women. The relationship that Charmaine had with her father, I never understood it. Like I said, I didn't have that kind of relationship with my father. So sometimes her father would make a command and she would say, "Yes, Daddy." Me, I would be like, "I got a choice in this. I know, yes, Daddy, I got a choice in this." But that happened because of the relationship with my father. See, her father was never going to tell her anything to hurt her. Everything that her father told her, her father told her for her own good, because he could see miles down the road where she couldn't. He could see what God put in her and how he needed to guide her in a particular path so that she can go directly where God wanted her. That's the role of a father. There are times when we don't get it right, as I said before. We don't get it right. But there are times that our Heavenly Father will take what we didn't get right and make it right. There was, I think I told you on Mother's Day, I watched this show called Relative Race. And on Relative Race, the contestants are in pursuit of relatives that they did not know. And so there was this one man, and he was here from Georgia. That's what made me really connect to his story. He was a 39-year-old man. He worked for the Department of the Justice. He worked in some law enforcement agency. And he had a hole in his heart because he never knew who his father was at 39 years old. So he was in pursuit of finding that side of him because he had a son. And he wanted his son to know where he came from. See, it's an amazing thing when you have a father that will show you where you come from and where you're going. But the more amazing thing is that if you don't have that in an earthly father, your heavenly father will do that for you, because he is the most amazing, awesome father that you can ever have. So don't ever think that you have been neglected in that area or abandoned in that area, but know that there is a God, our Heavenly Father, that sits high, looks low. He has your best interest at heart. He will lead you and guide you and set you on a path of greatness. Don't ever think that you've been neglected in that area. Some statistics from 2018 says 19.5 million or more than one in four in the United States live in a home without a father. And 92% of parents in prison are fathers. That was a sad statistic to me. 92% of kids of parents in prison are without their fathers. And so you wonder why society is the way that it is. And it doesn't help when policies are made to put a generation of people in prison and to leave their children fatherless, so that society, the next portion of society or the next generation are coming up, that's coming up, will be even more destitute than the generation before. But as I said, even if your father is in prison, even if your father is not here, even if your father did not do his due diligence. You have a heavenly Father that will do his due diligence, and he will be here for you, and he will love you, and he will direct you. Next, please. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. In those days, Judges 17:6, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Fathers direct, they guide, they lead, and that way, and they cast vision. When you have a father that casts vision, it is within your best interest to follow it. When you have a father that leads, it's within your best interest to follow it. When you have a father that guides, it's within your best interest to follow it. Why? Because he always sees further and further and further than you ever can. And he's never going to put you in a position that's going to hurt you, kill you, or harm you. That's what the devil does. The devil is the one that kills, steal, and destroy. The devil is the one that tries to steal your destiny. And you would be better served if you follow the teachings of your fathers. Next, please. Healthy father relationships. Point number three. Helps us see God as a father. Our scripture for healthy father relationships help us see Father, God as Father, is 2 Corinthians 6, 17 through 18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord. I need you to go back to the blank screen before that. Right there. Thank you very much. I appreciate all of your hard work. I understand how trying and taxing it is, and you're doing a fabulous job. I want you to know that. Thank you. So, as I said earlier, my father-in-law, James Robert Berry, married my mother-in-law, and my mother-in-law had already had four children. She had three boys. And he took those boys under his wings, and he loved them as if they were his own. They eventually had another son. And if you saw the four brothers, you would never know. If I did not tell you, you would never know which one of them was not his son, because he treated all of them like his son. He took what he learned from my father-in-law, James Berry, and he taught it to his children. They didn't get everything right, but one of the things that they did get right is they modeled Jesus before their children. They stood, they were praying men, they were worshiping men. Charmaine could remember when Grandpa, if I say something about Grandpa worshiping, the only thing she'll see is Grandpa on the front row dancing. Grandpa was always dancing. I call him Grandpa. I called him Dad for a little while, but I call him Grandpa because of the kids. Grandpa would be dancing. Grandpa would be praying. Grandpa would be worshiping. And Grandpa would talk about the Lord. And that's the same thing they saw in their father. Am I right? The same thing they saw in their father. Their father is a worshiper. Their father speaks the word of God to them. Their father tells them the truth. One of the greatest gifts that Pastor Everett gave to his children was he believed in them. And that's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to your children as a father, is to believe in them. Now, you're not going to believe in a wrong. Sometimes that's what they want you to do. They want you to believe in their wrong. In other words, they want you to sanction their wrong. They want you to promote their wrong. They want you to just back them even when they're doing wrong. No. A good father would not do that. A good father would let you know that what you're doing is not right. What you're doing, we don't approve of because we're better than this. What you're doing, you don't have to do. One of the things that Pastor Everett was able to do for his children, that they mama, she had kind of issues with, but he listened to their thoughts. He allowed them to disagree respectfully. And he always provided insight. And that's some of the benefits that we here at New Dimensions Church have with him as a pastor. He always provides us insight. We're always able to disagree respectfully and to provide our, he'll listen to our thoughts. The same way he engaged his children is the same way he engages us at New Dimensions Church. Scripture, please. Therefore, come out their midst and be separate and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons to me, says the Almighty Lord, the Lord Almighty. It's an awesome thing to have a heavenly father that will be a father to us. But he does give commands. He says, come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my son. A quote that I came across said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. If we feel that we were given a short end in that area, as I said before, our Heavenly Father will make up for it. He's a good father and will give good things for his children. Thank you to all the fathers for carrying the mantle. I appreciate, we appreciate all the fathers, even you out there. Don't think that what you do for your children goes unnoticed. Society is better when you stand and be the father that God has called you to be. Shall we pray? Father, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our earthly fathers, whoever they may be. Whatever they have done, Father, we pray that you would put forgiveness in our heart for them. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen the fathers that have the unique task of raising their children, of raising productive citizens of the kingdom. We ask, Father, that your word will always be in their mouth. Your wisdom will be there to guide them, because we do not have a playbook on how we do this, but we do have your word. And I pray that we would use your word to the fullest, to its fullest, to guide, lead, and to protect the children that you have given us. Father, we pray for those whose fathers are no longer here. Heal their heart, O God. Touch their mind. Let them know that you didn't leave them and that you didn't forsake them, and that you will cover where their earthly father has left off. We bless you and we thank you for the fathers, and we love you, our good, good father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much.